o'clock, Hogan and Taggart with you. We are an hour away from the concert review. As Mr. Hayes was able to find his way into the Hip Show last night. So if you missed the show and want to get a review firsthand, Brian was able to score tickets.
Nice.
Yeah, good move.
So he was able to get in there.
He'll fill us in.
Yeah, so it's going to be at 4 o'clock on Overdrive. Scotty Mack will be in the co-pilot's chair. By the way, we were talking about Poulin yesterday coming in and being on the show. I said, I bet he bikes in. And we're kind of saying he's getting ready for the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah.
He biked in.
He did not.
Oh, yeah.
How far out does he come?
Coming
from, like, Mississauga?
Yeah. He lives in Hamilton, and it's faster than the traffic on the 401, so he comes in that way. It's Scotty Mack today with Brian Hayes, and we'll get the full review from Hazer about what happened at the Hip Show last night. And news today, if you are a Green Day fan, they're putting out their first album in 4 years.
Oh, really?
That's a delay. 4 years?
Because they had some issues. He had some personal issues.
Yeah, that's true,
Billy
too.
Joe there.
Okay, let me ask you this. Because when they came out and burst on the scene, they were looked at as being a punk band.
Yeah.
And they were not a typical band at the time. And the indie group and the quote-unquote punk scene loved them. Mm-hmm. And then they accused them of selling out.
Yeah.
Did they? Or do you follow, as a musician, do you follow the money anytime you can get it?
If you look at the band and what their first song, I mean, it was basically the song about, pulling the goalie. So people, and they had like the video of them jumping around, and it was kind of like, in that sense, it was kind of thumbing their nose to popular culture a little bit. So in that way, it was kind of punk because they're young and they're very energetic.
And anti-establishment to an extent.
Yeah, for sure. But at the end of the day, it's full-on pop songs, what I mean? So I don't know. The Ramones wrote pop songs, but they were punk through and through, just the way that they looked, way that they twisted everything.
You break down Ramones' music, it's 1960s pop music, just played as fast as they can possibly play with three chords.
Which is the idea, and the fact that they said, we're louder than everybody, and that's just that they were a force to
they
be reckoned
fun.
With.
They were a fun band.
Yeah. Green Day, it was younger kids, and then they got so pop. Like, when you sell 10 million copies of your album...
Yeah.
The first one you make, like, it's really tough to stay punk after that.
And American Idiot comes out, and they end up making a Broadway show about it. I can't see The Clash doing that.
Yeah, when they're living like next door to the what's his face, the Sky Ranch, Luke Skywalker's George Lucas.
Oh, George Lucas.
Yeah, like they live in like Marin County or something like that, and just so loaded and.
That's not punk.
That's not punk at all.
That's not punk. Let's move on. Get back to sports a little bit. The big question or the big story of the day is one we asked a question about. With Patrick Waugh leaving the Colorado Avalanche, he just stepped down sort of unexpectedly today. I don't know. I didn't read anything about this maybe coming, so the timing was odd. We asked you on Twitter, where will he end up coaching next? The majority at 34% say he's going to Vegas.
Oh, really?
That's interesting. He's a name. I don't know if you need a name to sell it in Vegas, because in Vegas they don't know who the hell Patrick Roy is.
Not going
to
do anything.
It's not like you're trying to sell this in a traditional hockey market.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would work or not, but that's with a couple of hundred votes in, that's the leader right now.
I think it's because he's probably the most, sexy name for an option for the next coach that's available. You know what I mean?
A return to Les Bleu Blanc Rouge with Montreal
that
is
would be
next
great.
At 28%. That would be neat.
That would be great as a Leafs fan just to watch that every day.
But does that work? I mean, you could bring back Doug Gilmour as a coach here, or Wendell Clark, or Daryl Sittler, or Gary Roberts.
Stop it, you're turning me on.
You know what I say.
Yeah.
But does just because it's a sexy name, does that mean it's one that's going to work?
No, but I mean that's the idea. I'm saying it as a person who, could care less if the Habs make the playoffs. So I just appreciate
it. I'm trying to Leafize it for you.
Oh, to Leafize it.
I'm trying to think.
Well, if Gilmour, how do you, when Babcock is the guy, nobody's going to say mess with that.
No, but I'm just saying, Mike Babcock decides, I'm retiring from hockey.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of a Toronto equivalent where a player comes back that could make
a difference.
It would
be a Gilmour type if he was a coach that people were, have proven himself at some level.
If Gibby was replaced by Roberto Alomar, if
they bring Cito back one more time,
or if they were to bring Vince Carter to come back,
yeah.
and coach.
Yeah.
You know, after
yeah.
he's maybe proven himself at another level that he wants to. I'm just as
no,
I hypothetical.
Hear you.
But that's what it would be like in Montreal. I mean, they love Patrick Roy in Montreal. Mm-hmm. A return to the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League comes in third at 27%. And then waiting for the NHL to come to its senses and move. And I understand why they didn't get the expansion team. $500 million in Canadian funds is a lot more than $500 million.
Yeah.
Right?
It, yep.
That was expensive to get in. But the fact that they seem unwilling to do the right thing. Like, look what happened when Atlanta moved to Winnipeg.
No, I
Boy,
know.
It worked. How about moving, stop trying to pour money into Phoenix, which is broken,
it's
and
like
moving
to Quebec
City. It's
like trying to be cool at the party to meet the girl that doesn't really care about you. That's the deal.
Hang on. You just,
World Cup under
I just
my
had
breath.
Flashback to high school. That
right?
was that was a slap in the face.
Like, that's Bettman World Cup.
Yeah.
And that's Bettman Vegas.
Sure. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Let's try these under 24. No.
Yeah. Jays have the night off. They wrapped up the series with the Rays last night with a 7-0 win. And again, Jay Happ was fantastic. And I never thought I'd be saying that. I'm trying to think of a bigger surprise in recent years in any Toronto sport,
mm-hmm.
where a guy has come in here. Maybe Bismack Biyombo recently came in here. Nobody expected anything out of him, and he became a cult hero here
yep.
in Toronto
for sure.
Jay Happ. Nothing was expected out of him. In fact, 99.9% of baseball fans, if they were looking at this without the rose-colored glasses on, when Jay Happ came here, went, oh, God, we're losing David Price in Toronto, and this is what we're getting in return?
Yeah.
That was the overwhelming sentiment here in Toronto.
Well, yeah.
You and I included.
No, absolutely. And I think the other thing is everybody thought last year that, you know, we would have kind of Stroman as our stud and that would be the surrounding cast, and it's completely gone the other way with Sanchez and
yeah.
with Happ. And the fact that Happ is nobody, including Happ, probably had any idea he was going to be doing this, like 16-3.
Yeah. I will admit being absolutely wrong on Happ. Conversely, when you say Sanchez, I was all on board
yeah.
with Sanchez being in the rotation this year and just making sure they watched the innings.
And you hoped he was going to be this good, but you didn't expect
I thought behind Stroman,
yeah.
he has the best stuff in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Stroman took the step back, which is not unusual in a sophomore year.
Sure.
Sanchez, again, may take a step back in his sophomore year. Guys get more film on him, et cetera, et cetera. But I was thrilled when he broke. I was in spring training saying, get this guy in the rotation. Look how big he is. Look how good he looks.
Look at how he commands batters, man.
In spring training, he was awesome, and I was hoping they would give him the chance to be in the rotation, and it's worked out well. Not as well as Happ, though, because Happ, we expected something out of Sanchez. We didn't expect anything out of Happ. He's now being considered by some, and many in some cases, for the Cy Young Award. What does he think about that?
I don't want to hear that until, you know, when it's all said and done, we can look back and you know, make some decisions on that stuff. But I want to stay right where I'm at, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
That's the way to look at it.
I'm sure
that it's been talked about enough among his peer group. You're on a flight or whatever, and if they do talk baseball, which I assume they try to get away from as much as possible, but if it does come up and you know, pitchers have a lot of downtime. Somebody will see somebody putting up numbers in another game or an out-of-town game. Dude, your numbers are better than him. They're talking about him for the Cy Young. You've got better numbers than he does.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hear it either. But, I mean, it's there, and I'm sure they all know what's going on. I mean, the fact that the team is blessed with guys in the equation, like Sanchez could go on a string of wins and be in the same position in a couple of weeks. And, I mean, Estrada is incredible. It's unbelievable to have this kind of a situation unfolding. You know, we all thought this team was all about offense, and here's this six-man rotation that are actually one of the better in baseball.
You're a guy who really likes the history of the sport, so let me ask you about the move to the six-man rotation. I know that's been talked about a lot, but I haven't heard your take on this. Do you like it?
I think whatever to keep Sanchez in there, and that's what it is, basically.
But are you worried about screwing up what Happ is doing? Because he's used to going every fifth day, right?
Yeah,
my concern is you screw things, and I don't know if this is going to work or not.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'd love to get a little more data on this before I was going to do something like this when you have an opportunity to win. you know, if we go back to the 70s and we're to have this conversation, this team's going to a five-man rotation. No, they're crazy, right?
Yeah,
That was the mindset back
then. It's the way it really makes the feeling like if it works, everybody's going
to
do it.
But that's the question, if it works. And while I think it's fantastic that they're doing something to try and keep Sanchez alive and in the starting rotation, I'm worried what it does to the other guys who are used to a schedule. And starting pitchers are creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, does too much rest or just throwing off a schedule hurt you as much as it can help somebody else? And, you know, is there going to be a yang to go with the yin here? And a yang to go with the yin? And I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And nobody does.
No. But I don't see if it were to go and they have success with this throughout the playoffs, keeping it next year. I think, you know, it could be the year of, you know, Dickey maybe going somewhere else or...
Well, he's done. Forget, Dickey's not coming back.
So, I mean, this is just kind of that idea. They can't just send him away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think if anybody were to say out of these six people, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that he's a veteran and he's a big part of the team as well.
I understand the pros, but I'm also worried about what may be a con. And if this was something where 10 other teams have done this over the course of history, mm-hmm. and you can look back and you can see how did pitchers respond to the extra day of rest, and you start saying, okay, you know what, it actually helps them more than I thought, then this is a no-brainer. But if it hurts them, then why are we doing this? Because mm-hmm. they're used to a certain... So I don't know. And we won't know until next August.
Yeah.
And we've seen other teams do six-man rotations, mm-hmm. but I can't think of any that started it at the beginning of August as opposed to just did it to see an extra prospect in September or get a couple of guys some time off the Nationals did it a couple of years ago.
If
the
it
Mets.
Was a calloused heart would just send Dickey away and keep five men and not do anything with Sanchez, right? Is it because of his position, what they pay him, his I guess, presence in the locker room? Because that's the only kind of, pitcher in that six-man rotation that you could say, well, you can go or not go with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Ari Dickey. He's such a important person to this team.
We'll continue down this road. We'll also talk some hockey at the bottom of the hour. Mike Richter will join us as he was inducted with his teammates from the 1996 American World Cup of Hockey winners into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame this week. And we'll get his thoughts on the upcoming tournament as well. After 3 o'clock, Hogan Taggart with you here on TSN 1050. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mike Richter will drop by, a member of the 1996 World Cup of Hockey team. He got into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame again this week. He was inducted as an individual back in the day and was able to get in with his teammates, which must have been pretty neat.
Yeah. I wonder what he feels about the new format.
That's one of the questions, obviously, we have to go, because we talked about this a little bit earlier on in the show. I'm not a fan of the new format, even slightly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you do what you got to do, and they're doing it to raise some money, and good for them. But just don't label it as a World Cup, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Full stop. It's not.
Yeah.
If a team called the Young Guns, or whatever they're going to call them, can win the World Cup, what country are they representing?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the World Cup.
Yeah.
Let the best players from each... If Connor McDavid is good enough to make Team Canada, let him make Team Canada. If Jack Eichel is good enough to make Team USA or whomever, let him make Team USA.
Yeah.
Team Finland could probably use a couple of the Young Guns.
Call it the NHL Cup.
Do whatever you have to
case.
Do. Call it the Cash Grab 2016 edition. Do whatever it works. And I have no problem with them doing it.
Yeah.
Just don't try to disguise it as this great World Cup of hockey, because it's not. Pierre LeBrun, by the way, our buddy, who's on vacation. You know, this must be a big story to get LeBrun to do anything work-oriented in the summer, right? Because he works so damn hard.
He's enjoying his time at the cottage.
Like Bobby Mack, all of these guys, dregs, they work so damn hard during the hockey season, which is, about 10 months long now.
Every day.
They get some downtime, and they try to take advantage of it. But Pierre was busy with the Twitter machine today at real_ESPN LeBrun. Just spoke with Patrick Roy, who says he's got a ton of respect for Joe Sakic, the Avs, and the Avs players, but Roy felt timing was right given the philosophical differences, doesn't know what his future holds for him at this point. Given that he has another year on his deal with the Avs, he says he might just take a year to enjoy life, which he's rarely had the chance to do. Roy also insists people shouldn't read into it more than what he said in the statement. There's no backstory, just time to move on. Okay, back to my summer vacation now, last day in PEI.
That's it.
So that's LeBron, and we don't even bother him. He works so hard. We talk to him all the time. But
he's in heaven, PEI. Yeah, not a better place to be. But
still unable to completely separate himself from the gig. And
how can you, right?
Yeah, and it's a big enough story.
These guys are lifers.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's why the TSN hockey community is the best in the world at what it does.
And the season doesn't stop. There's no sleep for the NHL season.
So for him to actually phone Patrick and just kind of get to the bottom of this as much as he can, and for Patrick Roy to say, nothing here. Like, there's no backstory. It's just a bit of a philosophical difference. I'm good. Everything's good. And if we hear from the Avalanche the same thing, there's no reason to do any digging. And it seems like this is maybe the best for both. And does Roy move on to another gig in the NHL? We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out.
I'd like to think that Bobby Mack is on his dock and he listens to vintage hockey games on the dock.
Bobby Mack, I assume, is going to every one of the hip shows on this tour.
Oh, that too.
And didn't you see a tweet from... From Rob Baker?
Yes, from Rob Baker. It was a great tweet. I actually retweeted it, and it said, somebody said, nothing would make me happier than thehip.com/Robbie Baker dropping a "we have never said anything about this being the end bomb in Kingston."
Mm-hmm.
And then Robbie Baker replies, "we've never said anything about that."
Yeah.
So positive and onward, and hopefully... there will be more shows from the hip.
You know, the hope is, obviously, not being able to predict the future, that Gordie Downey is healthy for a long time.
Yeah.
And they are able to do some more stuff. And I have told anybody that will listen, as long as Gord is healthy, they're going to play some.
Absolutely.
And I would expect them to just randomly show up at the Toucan in Kingston and go into the basement where they played years ago and have played some kind of surprise gigs every once in a while to just show up and, hey, we feel like playing. Let's go. Three of the guys are in town. They bring in a couple of guys from Toronto, Gord and Johnny, and say, let's go. We'll just go play somewhere. Go over to Wolf Island and play the Island Grill or somewhere locally or wherever it's easier for them, easiest
because
for them.
Because they're great at it and they love it.
Yeah.
And they're, again, just the quintessential Canadian rock band that just loves to play.
And I've been corrected by one Sean Levine. Bobby Mack is only going on Sunday.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh, he's only going Sunday.
So that's it. When are you going, Sean? Are you going to the Sunday show?
Friday?
As well?
I'm going tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
What
are your seats like?
I won't know until I get there.
Ooh. Ah, so you don't know. You know you have tickets. You know they're legit. You know they're not.
He may or may not be being let in with a blindfold by a friend.
I think the friend's only precursor was no dancing.
No,
that's gonna be tough.
All dancing. Right.
I'll be like a Raggedy Ann. Just. Arms,
you're
gonna
get
legs flying everywhere.
Picked up in one of those huge suburban limousines.
No.
And then put a blindfold on.
No,
Candace is usually smiling, but now Candace is laughing hysterically on the other side of the glass.
I just gave her a mental
image. I can't. You can't take that back, unfortunately. No. That's stuck.
Did you see the dancing? You did.
I see it all the time. Oh, he does this all the time. This isn't new.
The fast stuff is bad enough, but when he gets into that third song mode,
see,
it's not good.
You're just a walking sandals bio.
That's right. Here's the thing.
There are if they got a video of this, there are resorts that would ban you for life from coming down there.
Oh, I've seen worse dancers at resorts.
There's Levines and droves at these places. The whole beach is lousy with them.
I don't exercise during the week, so this is the only form of exercise I get.
Just please don't do it in a thong, and everybody is really happier.
See?
About
there's the mental image you didn't want.
Kansas now leaving the room.
But
his
waist is under the water. You're sitting in the beach, in the pool, man. How come you haven't gone to the bathroom? I don't know. I don't feel like it.
The water is green in Brazil. Come on. It could be green anywhere.
The burning eyes of Levine swims.
It's a long walk sometimes.
Holy boats.
Never going to a resort again. Thanks, Sean.
If you like pina coladas.
Oh, how the hell did that go to there in like
because
9 seconds?
I just see it. When I see him, I just see a big, huge pineapple like on Gilligan's Island and him dancing. Where are we going with this?
I'm trying to think of a way to get out of this.
I
and
know.
Just now that image is just absolutely burned into the back of the brain.
I love it.
And I can't unsee what isn't even there. And that's the scariest part. Can we get out of this now and get ready for Mike Richter? This is Richard's 1 to 4 on TSN 1050. Mike Hogan and Jeremy Taggart with you until the top of the hour. We're talking a little bit about the hip there at the end. And also, at the top of the hour, I'm sure we'll get the full concert breakdown as Brian Hayes was in the building last night. And he and Scotty Mack will drop by and keep you company on Overdrive tonight, 4 until 7 on TSN 1050. And getting ready for the World Cup. And it's to me, it's not pure at all because of the Young Guns team and the Europe team. But memories of the 1996 World Cup came flooding back this year as this week as the American team was inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, the team that won the 1996 World Cup of Hockey. And the player that was the MVP of that tournament for the U.S. joins us now, Mike Richter, two-time Hall of Famer. How does that feel?
Good, very good. It's a, you know, obviously this is kind of, I guess unexpected. I had never heard of a whole team like that, but it's a pretty cool thing.
I'm sure you've been able to find it. Is it just you and the Olympic team, the Miracle on Ice team that are in as teams in the U.S.?
That I don't know.
Okay.
The idea that the entire team goes in there is awesome, and you know, I guess you'd say the same thing if you're on the 80 team. The reason that we had success was that we played so well as a group together, and everybody contributed. And so, it's very fitting that the entire group goes in.
How are your memories of the 1996? Even though it kind of flashes by, I remember 1996, and the fact that it's 20 years is pretty crazy. But what was that moment or that year like for you?
Well, listen, given my memory, I'm happy I'm wearing pants right now.
nice.
No, I got to tell you that I think for a goalie, you have to have a very short memory, and the things that stick with you are the saves that you made and the wins that you had and the rest of the stuff. As I get older, I think selectively is lost. And so that is to say that a really good experience like this does stay with you. I mean, honestly, from the moment we came into that the training camp in Providence, Rhode Island, it was just such a fun group of guys. One of the things it's a short summer to, you know, get going and you're practicing. I know Brian Leach and I were practicing here in New York. And, we didn't have the Rangers training facility as they have it now. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of begging people to open up ice rinks for us in the middle of July and August to get ourselves prepared. And you're playing with men's league and everything else. And for a goalie, it's not great. For a guy like Leachy, it's terrible because everybody's trying to take him out to say, hey, you know, I hit this pro.
Sure.
But honestly, we're going in there. It was instantaneous in terms of the chemistry and the work ethic and just the camaraderie. And you have Team Canada, who's, you're going to probably hit at one point or another. I mean, they're the team to beat usually Sure. going into these competitions. But there's five teams that legitimately think they can win the gold, legitimately. And we're in Providence and we're thinking, oh, you know, geez, we're here in this little town and Canada's up there and Whistler are hanging out in Western Canada. It looks so cool. And where, you know, Lou Lamoriello had played against him plenty, and I knew him, but he gave a speech that first night that everybody sort of hair on the back of your head stood up, and it was like, it's go time. And so he got our attention very, very fast. You know, it's a privilege to be part of that team. Good players are still, you know, are at home. You know, we're here to win. We're not here to just, show up and hope things go well. We got to make this happen. And it was kind of from the get-go, from that opening dinner where you're meeting everybody. It was a riot. And so on and off the ice, we had a great time. And that's, you know, that camaraderie helps you have success on the ice.
Sometimes memories fade. Sometimes they stick around, as evidenced by the fact you are wearing pants, I hope, for this interview.
But that was presumptuous.
Yeah, I know. but when you think back to the final game, you were down after two periods. Do you remember anything at all about what happened between second and third? And I guess more vividly, you would remember what happened in the third period.
Yeah, I going back to the second, they had put on a lot of pressure. I mean, it's kind of their great team. It's in their home arena. It's one game for the whole, you know, championship. So it's no one's going to give this thing up easily. And in a tight game like that, obviously every goal matters, but particularly at the end of periods, at the beginning of periods. And I just remember toward the end of the second, we had to weather a storm a little bit. We got into some penalty trouble, and Canada was just pressing. And they're a great team, so they're going to get some opportunities, and they did, but they weren't really getting on the board, and they're getting frustrated. And as a goalie, you can feel that, and everybody can feel it in the building. And I think there is, you know, tons of pressure on the overdog, if you will, and it's in their home rink, so the fans are kind of less cheering and more grumbling, and it got to be a little bit of a good position for us to be in if we could just get out of that period ahead. And, you know, what was it, 2 minutes ago or something like that, or 25 seconds, I think it was, Lindros tipped one in. And I was really disappointed in that. Just, you know, it was a good goal and everything else, and I kind of anticipated it, but it didn't make the save. And just the momentum shift that can happen with that. And that was my big concern, is like we had been playing well, obviously, through the tournament. We had played well in that game, kind of had the upper hand in the last part of that period, but we were kind of weathering the storm. And if we got out of there, the frustration would just mount. And then it's a real, you know, the clock's against them. And but, boy, they scored that goal, and that sort of changed the complexion. We go back on our heels a little bit. They take a big step in momentum forward heading into the final period. And so it did prove to be, you know, odd when we go into that third period and that weird floater comes in from Foot at the point, and it just was, you know, a little bit of, oh boy, here we go, you know, like you could, now the fans are in, those guys are jumping, but we were able to respond very, very fast. And so, but that was one of the things I felt was, you know, these momentum shifts with great teams at important moments like that, and Canada was pressing and was able to get that goal at the end of the second, which really set up for such an intense third. It was cool, and I was impressed between periods. Now that you ask, we did keep our composure. All right, let's get back to our game. This is what we have to do. It wasn't going to happen for free, and all the right things. And, you know, that you still have to go out there and play. You can say anything you want in the locker room, but you really still have to put yourself in the mix and see how it goes. But, you know, that team had a lot of courage, so we seemed to find the right gear at the right time.
Mike Richter joining us, the MVP from the 1996 World Cup of Hockey, and the team inducted into the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame this past week. It doesn't matter if you're playing summer rec hockey or Stanley Cup Finals, you want to win. And you were able to win a couple of fairly significant championships, a World Cup and a Stanley Cup. How do you compare the two?
Man, it's tough.
Yeah.
I love, particularly as a North American, but I mean, look, I grew up in Philadelphia when the Flyers were winning the Stanley Cup. And I mean, that is the measure of success,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. It's such a... an ordeal to get there through the regular season, no matter what anybody says. It's not easy to make the playoffs, particularly now. And good teams are outside looking in at the end of the year, right? And then getting through the four rounds is not an easy task. And so that, to me, is the ultimate. But look, the Olympics, even All-Star Games, but the World Cups, formerly the Canada Cups and now the World Cups, to me, I'm really glad they brought that back this year, because hockey is such an international game. So how does it compare? It is, you know, slightly different because it's not the same marathon, but you do still have the best players in the world. There are these All-Star teams, and my gosh, I mean, it really, there's not one dream team, but there's probably five or six that can come out there and win it. And I remember people being, you know, after we won in 96 and we're heading in 2 years later with essentially the same team into the Olympics, people, oh, you know, it's going to be you and Canada again. And I think what people from outside the hockey community didn't realize is how great these other teams are. And mm-hmm. was anybody predicting Jack? And yeah, sure, Hasek stood on his head, but yeah. Jack's Russians, Finns, Swedes, they're all great teams. And so you throw a dart at the schedule, you're gonna watch great hockey. These are tremendous players with huge motivation because there's a lot of national pride. So these tournaments are short, more intense, but tremendous level of hockey. You know, this will be the best tournament that you'll maybe ever played, given the level of talent.
Do you like? I don't know if you've been following the new World Cup, and the hockey is hopefully going to be good, but I don't like the format. I don't like the fact that it's a young guns team. And if Jack Eichel should be playing for the U.S., he should be playing for the U.S. Or if Connor McDavid should be playing for Canada, they should be playing for Canada. And it to me, it makes it look like a fundraiser more than it does a pure World Cup, if you know what I mean.
It's a great point. And lost in that is the novelty of it. Right? I love the idea of the young guns. It's great to see tomorrow's player and all that, but let's be clear. These are today's players. These guys are great,
yeah. And
they can compete, and I agree with you. If they're good enough to compete, they should have a spot on the team, and these young guys can be contributing, and that I agree with. But at the same time, it does allow for a little bit of a different look, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how they fare, because experience does take has an important role in tournaments like these. But, you know, these guys have some, there's a lot of hockey in a short period of time. Maybe the younger legs are going to be very valuable. I don't know. There's no question that that's a very, very talented team, and they should have some success. But all in all, the one thing I agree with you is just the top talent plays against the top talent. There's, you know, that was the argument that I think is a really redeeming thing about pros playing in the Olympics. And there's good arguments on either side, but In the end, when you have pros playing like we have in the last few years in the Olympics, these aren't, well, we would have won if. This is the best Canada has. This is the best United States has. This is the best teams that the world can put together. There's not an amateur pro division. There's not a different system division. It's just the best. And that I like that, the cleanness of that. And so I agree with your point.
Mike, I appreciate you coming on again. Sincere congratulations. Just out of curiosity, we have about 30 seconds here. Whose stories have been exaggerated the most since 1996, if you know what I mean? Who's stretching things?
Interesting. On that team, probably Billy Guerin, because you never know what is going to come out of his mouth. But outside of the 96 World Cup, it's got to be Glenn Healy. And I think you know that.
There we go. Mike, a pleasure. Thanks for
He's
doing
like,
this.
You know that, though.
There we go. Mike, a pleasure. Congratulations again.
Take it easy, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mike Richter joining us. That was fun. Mike Richter, of course, Stanley Cup champ of the Rangers and the MVP and gold medal winner of the 1996 World Cup of Hockey. And, of course, that's coming back this year, but they were inducted as a team into the United States Hockey Hall of Fame this week. When we come back, we'll get you ready for the Hayes and MacArthur program. That's coming up next. I'm Mike Hogan. That is Jeremy Taggart, and we're filling in for Mike Richards today and again tomorrow here on TSN 1050. And you're going to go to your first Argo game at BMO tomorrow.
Yes, I'm psyched. I'm so excited.
So we'll be doing the show 1 till 4 tomorrow, and then you're going to find out something to do for 3 hours.
Oh, I'll figure that out easy. I got friends in Liberty Village. I'll just rip over there for a bit.
Go meet them at one of the bars over in the village and have a few and come back and find some of those $4 beers down at the tailgate.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Hey, so Rick Westhead tweeted some names being considered for the new NHL team in Vegas.
Okay.
We have the...
The Waz now.
Yes, the Waz.
Yes.
The Desert Hawks.
Ew.
The Red Hawks. Or the Night Hawks.
Well,
I'm
his company
like the Hawks.
Well, his company's Knight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Nighthawks makes the most
probably
sense.
Probably right.
I don't know if the Blackhawks will be thrilled with that.
No kidding, right?
But one way or the other, well, if it's Hawk or Hawk.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not Night.
Yeah,
it's
I would assume that they would go with Nighthawks over the other two.
Are there a lot of Hawks?
The Desert Hawks? That's awful.
Is there a lot of Hawks in Nevada?
I've never been to Vegas. I don't know.
You haven't.
I'm not.
You're lucky.
You don't like it?
I don't.
Why not?
I spent too much time there. I got stuck there for like 3 weeks once.
Okay.
Because
one weekend?
We were opening for, remember how big that band Creed was in the States?
Sure.
OLP was opening for them. We were at Mandalay Bay, and the singer kept canceling the shows, and we ended up just staying in a room bored, and I just spent a bunch of money. I think I ended up, you know, up $5,000, back down to even, you know, one of those. Like, if I was only there for a week or so, I would have loved it.
So you had to...
I was there too long.
You had to play all as many shows as you did just to break even.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Did you leave with a little bit of money in your jeans?
I think I was up $1,000 at the end of the week or something.
Wow.
2 or 3 weeks.
For how many
Maybe
shows?
It was a week and felt like 3 weeks.
Yeah, that could do it.
If you're going to go to Vegas, do it for the weekend, 3 days. After that, it just starts getting old. Because everywhere you walk, every building is the same.
But when I, as somebody who's never been to Vegas,
yeah.
I see the shot of the strip. I'm not a gambler for one thing. So, okay, there's one strike.
It's the shows is probably your own. Like, you're already be sick of Cirque du Soleil after 2 days.
Okay, so if I want to go see shows,
yeah,
why wouldn't I go to New York?
I know.
A ton of shows and a hell of a lot more to do than walk up and down the strip.
Well, I think that's they clearly cater to that. Like, you can go there and you'll see world-class entertainment for a couple days. But yeah, I mean, you'd be better off just to rent a fancy car for the weekend and go rip around the desert. Like, that would be cool.
Sure. Yeah. I would have no problem with that.
Go see the dam, go run, rip around.
And if it's because of the weather, if it's the middle of winter, if I want to go somewhere, I'm going to go to a resort where Sean Levine is wearing a thong and dancing.
That's it.
That's the way that now resorts are going to be marketing themselves, right?
Well,
and watch producer Sean Levine.
That's one of the stars in Five Stars is Sean Levine-style dancing. You started it. We're back here again.
Yeah, we're back. It was kind of
I can't
there.
Believe it. Now it's like we're hearing Journey tunes and just seeing Sean ripping around in the pool.
That turns you on.
Leaving a yellow streak. And they called him the Streak.
Woo! Man, I haven't heard that song
in
40 years. And thank you for bringing that back
do
as
they
an earworm.
Not, do they, hey, Sean, you would know this. Do they water down drinks in those pools so people don't get too banged up?
You know what? Just stop.
No,
just stop
but do
now.
There, don't
You're
they?
Killing me.
No, it's not you. It's just the resort experience.
I have no idea.
Do they
no
water idea. Them down?
But you can go to the room and get as many cervezas as you want, right? You can just
I don't.
That way
I, yeah.
You don't want to go
I've
with
been to those
colada.
Really greasy resorts where you go to you're back to your hotel room and they have like the four bottles that are up there of the heavy liquor.
Yeah. Love
Yikers
that.
Island.
That works. Thanks, guys, on the other side.
Thanks,
Scruz
boys.
And Johnny for making this thing happen. And to Mr. Taggart, we'll be back from BMO tomorrow in anticipation of Argo football. We'll be on 1 till 4 from the stadium. First up, though, at 3:52, it's time for a News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update. Here's Tiffany Hensby.